You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
On this episode, I get to sit down with Lara Scott to hear all about her amazing trip aboard the Disney Dream and all of the amazing onboard entertainment. And we'll catch up with Becky Lithgow, who tells us all about her upcoming panto, The Wonderful Winter of Oz.
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles. I'm radio host, writer, and theater enthusiast Lara Scott, along with celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong. Welcome. We're very excited to jump into the incredible entertainment that I experienced recently aboard the Disney Dream. That whole trip feels like it was a dream. But first, we've got some LA theater buzz to share.
That's right, Lara. It opened on October 17th, and it's playing till November 25th at the Amundsen Theater. It's the Tony Award-winning musical, Dear Evan Hansen, and it's the first national tour. It's a huge hit, and tickets are hard to come by. However, there's a very cool digital lottery you can try to win by going to luckyseat.com/Dear Evan Hansen. And if that doesn't work, you can pop down to Costa Mesa, Sagerson's Theater to catch the show from January 1st to the 13th.
In a Booth at Chasen's opens at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood on November 9th. The press opening is November 11th, and it runs through November 25th. So many great shows to see. And this is a new musical about the real-life Hollywood romance of Ron and Nancy Reagan, as in the president and the first lady. Mm-hmm. And it stars Kelly Doherty and Brent, I don't know if it's Schindel or Schindel. We're going to be talking to them soon, so we're going to find out. They're amazing. You can check out In a Booth at Chasen's.com for info.
That is so cool, and I'm very excited about that. But I can't get this out of my head, and to use your words, I was peanut butter and jealous of you when I saw all of your posts from the amazing things you did on your recent Disney cruise.
Thank you.
As you know, I was a cast member on the Disney Wonder many moons ago.
Wait, and you were?
I was.
I didn't know you were on the Wonder.
Yeah, I was on the Wonder. That's how, okay. So.
No, wait, that was the ship that you and Lori Wells were on?
Nope, that was the Dream Word. I did a lot of ships.
I did not know that. I thought you were just on one.
No, okay, so I did the SS Norway twice. I did the Sea Word, the Dream Word, and the Disney Wonder twice. So I was at sea for a long time.
But I can see why, there's my little pun right there.
Yeah.
I can see why somebody would want to do that. And I was saying, you know what, if I were getting out of college and if I were talented, could sing and dance, why not travel the world? Because everything's taken care of, right? Like,
yeah,
room and board, and you get to do what you love every night. You get, mm-hmm, new audiences all the time that are excited.
It changed my perception of the world. Like, as, mm-hmm, far as you get, because many different cruise lines, their whole crew is, there's the entertainers, but you're living with the restaurant wait staff and the people in the merchandise and the people doing shore excursions, and they're from all over the world. And it opens your mind to different cultures and how to cooperate and to get along with the world. Like, it's incredible, and it's so valuable.
Well, and it really is a small world after all,
it
sticking,
sure,
with the Disney theme, because I posted a photo. I was there with my radio station, K-Earth 101. Mm-hmm. We were doing a broadcast, first time broadcasting from a ship in the middle of the Bahamas. We were hooked up to a satellite, broadcasting from Deck 11, and the director of entertainment for Disney Cruise Line, Christian, came by to talk to us. I posted a photo on Facebook, and Will, you're like, it's Christian!
Christian Abbott. We were cast members on the Disney Wonder together. Like,
see,
we're ensemble.
I was, yeah, thinking you guys probably had a history either at Disney World, Walt Disney World, or on one of the ships.
He married my dance partner, Brandy Johnson.
He did?
And they have two beautiful sons. Aww, yeah.
He was so nice. And just hearing him talk about the shows, you could tell his passion for what he does. Oh. And I talked to him the day that I saw Beauty and the Beast. We were going to see it that night, and he, okay, was saying, it's as good as anything you're going to see on Broadway. And he was right, Will. That was, I mean, all the shows that we saw were good. And let me just kind of briefly explain what it is. This was my first time doing a cruise, so I had no idea what to expect. But every night, there is a live show, some kind of live entertainment in a beautiful two-story theater on the Dream. I know each ship is a little bit different. This was in the Walt Disney Theater. And the first night, it was the Golden Mickey's. So it was, I think that was the one that had songs from Snow White, and they had songs from The Lion King, and they had an original storyline about this award show called the Golden Mickeys. Night number two was Disney's Believe, and it was about this dad. He was a scientist. He didn't believe in magic, but his little girl did. So Genie from Aladdin popped up, literally, to teach him how to believe in magic, along with other magical characters like Mary Poppins. I don't want to give too much away. And so the final night, it was Beauty and the Beast, and it was based on the live-action movie. And I think Evermore, the song that Beast sings, wasn't in there, but they had basically, right, all of the other songs. It was about an hour and 15 minutes. And Will, as you've said before, Disney does such a great job introducing kids to theater, because again, it was shorter than your average Broadway show. It was okay if your kids were making noise. You didn't feel like you were going to get tossed out with the staging and the props. And I don't know how they did that. Every now and then you could feel the ship kind of roll, and sure, they were just up there singing and dancing and not missing a beat.
They get such incredible talent that and incredible people to work on stage and backstage, like, and in keeping with the whole Disney theme, like, they call all of their employees cast members, mm-hmm, whether they're in the show or whether they're helping you board the ship. And the entire experience is essentially a show, you know? Like, so they care so much about it, the through line of your experience throughout your entire vacation, all the way to on board, to any when you were in Nassau in the Bahamas, mm-hmm, and into Castaway Cay. What did you think of that?
Oh, my goodness. Disney's private island, Castaway Cay. It looks exactly like what you would think a Disney island would look like. Sparkling blue water, mm-hmm, shimmering sand. And they had a little water slide. They had a tram set up so you could go to different stops around the island.
Right.
And this is what I love. And this is what I've been telling people, that I was so surprised. Disney really knows how to take care of the grown-ups, because there were kids' clubs on the ship. So let's say you had a kid that just really couldn't even sit there for an hour for a show. The kids' clubs, the youth clubs, were open until midnight. So you could leave the kids there with the trained Disney counselors. And they would have characters coming in, and they would do little skits for the kids, or they could play video games. And you could go have an elegant dinner in a really nice, like, dress-up restaurant, yeah, and go see a show or go have a cocktail. And I love, Will, like, all the names of the grown-up pools and, like, the grown-up beach on the island, Serenity Cove, you know, like, peaceful,
how was
quiet.
The spa? How was the spa on the ship?
Senses. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I was only in there for a little bit. Oh. I literally went in to get a photo of me gazing at the ocean with my hair up in a towel in a bathrobe. And then in this machine, they said it squeezes the toxins out of your muscles. So you kind of get in and you get
picture.
Cocooned.
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing. But everyone's like, I'm so jealous. I'm like, I was in it for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing 15 seconds.
And also, speaking of talent, after I signed off the Disney Wonder, I either the next cast or the cast after that, do you know, Jennifer Hudson was in the ensemble.
Like,
no. She left. And
what?
Then she left the ship and auditioned for American Idol, and now is an Academy Award winner.
So that was right before American Idol. Mm-hmm. I never knew that she did theater
that. She was a cast member.
That's wonderful. Well, Christian was saying the gentleman who played Gaston, mm-hmm, who was always a scene stealer, mm-hmm, you know, movie, play, whatever, had come from Broadway. I don't think he played in Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, but he was from Broadway. And he had also said that Frozen, which is on one of the other ships, that cast was invited to audition for Frozen on Broadway. I don't know if anybody went, but what an amazing opportunity. And it was cool, too, because the guy who played Gaston had played the disbelieving scientist the night before. So you could kind of see these actors taking on a different role every night, and the new people coming in as somebody got a day off. So it was really nice to get to see them perform in different roles.
And it's so neat to see the evolution of theater at sea, like, from... It used to just be in, like, a lounge that you would do bingo, and then they'd move everything, and their feather headdresses would be touching the lights. And now there are drops, and they're flying people, and there's wings, and they're flying, like, there's scene
people
changes.
People came flying in, and I kept thinking, we're at sea right now.
Yeah.
And again, like, we talk about a lot at the Pantages with these moving panels and the beautiful stage. I mean, there was all of that, people coming up from underneath the stage and panels opening and people in the aisleway really engaging the audience. So it was absolutely top-notch. And in fact, I'm going to say the entertainment was my favorite thing about the entire cruise. That and Castaway Cay, the private island. It was just wonderful. And it's included with your cruise package. You don't have to buy a separate ticket for any of these shows. You just show up.
I spent a lot of time at sea, but you're making me miss it a lot. It's so
well, you know what? I think they do 9-month contracts. Well, we could pre-tape a couple of shows, or they could hook you up to the satellite.
Well, I was going to say, they have a recording studio on the ship. We can keep doing this.
Well, I will tell you, it was such a joy to see my kids, who are ages 3 and 8. The 8-year-old is kind of a veteran theater goer at this point, but my little girl had never seen a live show like this. And so Believe was her first one. And when Jeannie showed up, she was staring with her mouth open. I mean, that was Jeannie on the stage in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night after we saw Beauty and the Beast, we walked out and she said, we're going to go see it again tomorrow, right?
Oh.
Like, can we come back tomorrow and see it again? So I can't wait till I think it's like you have to be 5 maybe to go to some of the shows here, like at Pantages or at Sagerstrom. But I can't wait to start taking her, because already, thanks to Disney, she is a theater fan.
That's, I always say, it's a gateway drug to musical theater is Disney musicals.
Thank you, Disney. And thank you so much. If you want to find out about a Disney cruise of your own, check out disneycruise.disney.go.com or just Google Disney Cruise, because that was a mouthful right there.
Yeah.
You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott. So, Will, when we found out Becky Lithgow was going to be joining us to talk about the wonderful Winter of Oz, your reaction was, I love Becky! Now, do you guys know each other?
Yes, and she, well, I don't know her well, but years ago, and I mean years ago, I was at Friend of the Pod's, Shoshana Bean's house, and Becky was there, and Jen Gambitis, who is from the Tarzan the Musical and All Shook Up, they're all real good girlfriends from forever ago, and I just happened to be over there, and I got to meet all of them, and we just had a really great night. So I texted Becky, and I was like, I don't know if you remember me, but we met here, and she responded, and she was like, oh my God, yes, I know you.
I love that you sent her a photo, because you look exactly the same, Will. I've seen, like, on Old Headshot Day on Throwback Thursday, and it's you look exactly the same.
Well, it's a clean living, and I also sleep in a hyperbolic chamber, so that helps.
Yeah, and you're married. It's love. There's that. Bill's keeping you young.
Yes.
All right, well, let's talk about the Lithgows and their involvement with theater, because a lot of people know them from TV.
Sure. Well, the Lithgows are known for their creativity and their involvement in TV hits like American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance. But the family's also dedicated to bringing affordable theater to families not just in L.A., but also across America. And the Lithgow Family Panto Productions are where you take a classic story but modernize it with a topical script and well-known pop songs.
And this is so much fun. I saw the one they did last year, Beauty and the Beast, A Christmas Rose, and it had songs from the Bee Gees and Miley Cyrus. It was just awesome. This year's production is The Wonderful Winter of Oz, December 15th through the 30th at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. And here to tell us all about it is Becky Lithgow. Becky, welcome to West of Broadway.
Yay, Becky. Hi. Becky, thank
you. I wish I could be there in person. I'm driving back from the OC.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got a lot on your plate these days, and we thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. This
Absolutely.
Is so great. So my first question for you is, tell us about Panto and why you decided to start doing them.
Okay, so Panto has been going on for like 200 years over in England,
right.
And it's sort of like their Nutcracker or Christmas Carol, and it always happens at the holiday time, and every theater, whether it's community to the big West End theaters, they all do Pantos. And really, Chris kind of came to me in 2010 and was saying, you know, his dad, when they came over with American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance, they started to see there was no sort of family programming outside of what sort of Disney does that doesn't undermine kids, but really is for the whole family. And I said, oh my God, I went to RADA. I totally know Panto. Yes, you should totally do this. Let's do it. My lawyer will call you. Let's make it happen. In 2010, long before we started dating, I think he met with my lawyer first. And we really started it in 2010 because we had both had the same passion of like, how can we get more young audiences into the theater, but not just to placate them and entertain them, but also to have an experience with their parents and their grandparents where everybody enjoys it. And really, Panto is such a great way to hoodwink kids into theater because it's songs they know. It's all set to pop music and then fairy tales that they know. So it's really relatable and digestible. And so that's why we started Panto back in 2010, is really bringing new young audiences in and bringing families together at the holiday time.
And you're so right, Becky, because I took my son last year to Beauty and the Beast. He had just turned 8, and he was so into it. He didn't want it to end. So you totally tricked him into loving theater. Thank you for that. But I enjoyed it so much as well. So yes, it's great for everybody.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's just it. I mean, there's songs for everyone from, let's say, Bruno Mars or Shakira, I don't know. And then for the adults or for the grandparents, we've got anything from, I don't know, Sam Cooke to the Bee Gees to everything in between. So it's great. And just stories that they know and love. And Chris secretly wants audiences to go to see like Les Mis and Bouge à Verre now.
We'll go from that to Les Mis. Now, when you say Chris, who can you tell everybody who Chris is?
Yeah. So Chris is my cohort, and we together started this company in 2010. He's also happens to be my husband.
Very nice.
And so we're the co-producers, but we sort of wear different hats. He writes the scripts. I cast them. He does marketing. I do PR. It's we sort of work together on everything and just have different aspects to take care of. But we both, I grew up on the stage. He grew up in the orchestra pit with his mom choreographing and directing and his dad writing and directing. And Yeah, so we both grew up in theater, really.
And you guys are doing everything. I was looking at just kind of the info sheet on the show, and I saw your name and Chris's name and your name and Chris's name, and you mentioned that you're doing the casting. Let's talk about the casting, because it's not traditional stage actors. I know you pull a lot of people from TV. You have cast Kermit the Frog in The Wonderful Winter of Oz, so we'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. I mean, the glory and the beauty of Panto is that the scripts are tailored to our stars.
Right.
So it's not really one of these things like Hamilton, and you think, oh, you've got to have a big belty voice, and you also have to be able to rap. Our shows, really, we get the stars, and then we write them. So let's say, well, for instance, we've got Marissa Jarrett-Winoker this year playing Glenda, Tony Award winner, who's hilarious, also can belt out a tune, but also just one Big Brother celebrity, celebrity Big Brother.
Right.
So we've got all these references in there where Glenda's sort of like watching over in her bubble, like the Big Brother house. So it's really fun that we get to do the non-traditional casting for really every show. And like you said, we were doing this year. We kept thinking, wait, why is Emerald City green? And why is it over the rainbow? And sort of we just made this sort of rainbow connection and thought, Kermit the Frog. Kermit the Frog has got to be the wizard. This all makes sense.
Brilliant.
So we've got Kermit the Frog, and then our Dorothy, totally from a different world. She's from the television world and dancing world from Dance Moms, Mackenzie Ziegler.
Amazing.
Dancing with the Stars Junior right now. So, yeah. Yeah. And it's great. It's great. Also, we really find, especially these up and coming, I say, young stars that want to do more musical theater, like we've had Ariana Grande, who had done 13 on Broadway, but she hadn't done much other theater at the time, and she wanted to get back on the stage. And Olivia Holt and Sabrina Carpenter, all these girls that are now recording artists, they love Broadway, and they really want, that's one of their passions that they want to do. So we kind of get to be a stepping stone for that. And also, it's short runs, but it's long enough that they can get used to doing 8 shows a week.
Exactly. So. That must be so thrilling for the kids in the audience, like just to experience something with such incredible talent right there in front of them, so close that they can almost touch them. Tell us about some of the special student matinees that you have to offer.
Yes. So every year we have student matinees starting from even 2010. And back in 2010, we had 150 mostly Title I students that came in to see the show. And we've grown this year across our 4 venues. We had 6,000 students, almost all Title I students, that came to see our show, which is totally underwritten by sponsors that we have. So we give them free buses, free show. And it's amazing, because not only are they seeing stars that they know from television and film and on the radio up on the stage, but they're also seeing, we've got 8 kids, 2 casts of 8 to 16, but 8 kids in our ensemble that are local non-professional kids up there that dance with these professionals. And so the kids in the audience not only see faces they know, but they also see kids their own age up there. And we really find that that brings it home, makes them say, oh my gosh, I could see myself up there. Wait, this is relatable. I understand this. And we also do talkbacks to teach them about the different roles in theater, from, you know, costumes to hair and makeup to stage management, and just to teach them the joy of theater. And we really, we tailor down the show a little bit so that we have time to do that.
Sure.
And they still have time to get back to school and talk about it and talk about what their favorite part about it was when they get back. And it's exciting. I encourage everybody, and we always offer people to come pop by for the student matinees, to listen to 2,000 at the Pasadena Civic kids screaming at the stage, booing the bad guy, cheering the good guy is so amazing. It's so great.
That's so fun. And are you guys doing the student matinees with all the productions? Because I want to talk about that too, because it's not just here in LA with the Pantos. You guys have a couple different ones happening.
That's right. Yes, we do student matinees at all of our venues. So here in Pasadena, at the Pasadena Civic, down in Laguna, Laguna Playhouse. This year we're in Nashville at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, TPAC, and we're doing one there, and then also in Raleigh, North Carolina. So every venue that we're in, it really, because our mission is to bring in new young audiences, we would never do a show without having a student matinee.
Wow.
It's really just sort of part of the package of what we do.
And then, Becky, final question for you. How do you manage everything? Because you're doing, like, the role of 18 different people. Like, what do you use for time management? Any tips or tricks with that you could share with us?
Let me tell you, I'm still learning myself how to manage it all. But it is know, it's a lot. What we do really is be as preemptive as possible, because our the main heat of our season, although we're starting to think about doing a summer show too, but I'll
awesome.
TBD, I'll let you know. But the main heat of our season, we cast around June, July, and then I'd say come August, September, we're in it, and then September on is just mad dash craziness. But we do as much preemptive work as possible. So February, March, we're going through costumes, we're seeing what needs to be repaired, we're building sets, we're already thinking about casting, and we do as much work as we possibly can so that when it comes down to it, we're pretty focused on marketing campaigns and things like that, and also making sure our cast is happy. And we have an incredible team that does come on board in October, and that includes company managers and assistants and marketing people, and it's an incredible team that we've now had for I'd say 8 years that work part-time with us. So it's just about delegating and being as preemptive in the year as possible.
Becky, this is so your passion for what you do is so obvious, and thank you so much for what you do to bring theater and entertainment experiences, not just to kids, but to families,
yes.
And especially around the holidays. It's so wonderful to have opportunities like this for, and especially every year to have to create traditions,
yes.
And that's what you're doing. It's incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Becky.
For more information about the wonderful Lithgow Family Panto, check out the PasadenaCivic.com. And what were you saying, Becky?
That was it. I just was saying I love it. And I grew up, you know, like I narrated the Detroit Symphony Orchestra when I was little, and growing up around professionals that would come into town in Michigan. And I just want to do the same thing that I was lucky enough to do when I was a kid. So.
Amazing. It's so great. Well,
so cool.
Thank you so much. And you enjoyed you're driving right now, right?
We are. We're coming back from doing an event with the All American Boys Choir last evening. So
incredible.
We're heading back.
Well, drive safe, and thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing your panto this season.
We can't wait.
Yay. Thank you. Yes. Come over the rainbow. This is everyone.
The Rainbow Connection. We will find it in Pasadena. I love it. Thanks so much, Becky. We'll
Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, love.
Bye.
Thanks, Bye.
Well, that's it for today. You can check us out online and catch up on all previous episodes at westofbroadwaypodcast.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes, and you can reach out to us on our social media platforms. I'm at Will Armstrong PR.
And I'm Lara Scott Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. Again, a huge thank you to Becky Lithgow.
Oh my gosh.
That gets me even more jazzed about seeing their panto, but we appreciate her taking the time. And if you are looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway.
That was awesome.
Yay!
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.